Okay. Bringing the meeting of the San Luis Coastal Unified School District Board of Education to the first action item is the approval of minutes. Somebody's going to have to move to approve since, you know, I'm running the show.
Second.
Thank you.
August 23rd.
And any modifications, alterations?
Yes, I would like to add one thing on page 2 of the minutes under the action, under the approval of minutes near the top of page 2, where the item that we discussed, the minutes were changed to accommodate, I believe it was Adrienne's statement, and she was concerned, et cetera, the underlying part. I would like to ask Kim in the future, if we put in something that was changed, could there be some little description about what this item was? I read it over once, and I read it over again, and I thought, oh, yeah, okay, that's what it was. Otherwise, I wouldn't have had any idea what it was. And that happens on occasion if there's just some little statement about what the change was relative to. Other board members support me on that?
It says that it's these are changes to the August 9th, 2005 minutes, so if you went back and referenced those, you would see what changes were made.
Right. But also, if there were just one little sentence in here that the having to do with the mission statement that was discussed, just some little statement to tie it in so I wouldn't have to go back and look at the minutes. That's all. A very simple thing. Thank you.
Mrs. Holmes, did you understand that? Thank you.
And I move that we go ahead, unless somebody else has a correction.
Mrs. Dickinson? You were on.
Okay. I just wondered if I could add, such as a conference center on the bottom of page 3. Uses to the site, comma, such as a conference center, period.
Any objections to that modification?
Sorry. What was that again?
To the last sentence on page 3, uses to that site, comma, such as a conference center. Any? Page 3?
Whatever.
Okay, so if nobody objected to that, okay. We have a motion on the floor. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Nay. Okay. We're on to correspondence, which we did not have any. And so next on the agenda is public comment. Mr. Millar, please. Your one job for this evening. And
Mr. President, if I could interrupt your diatribe to announce we have a request to speak from Mr. Kirby K. Gordon. Sir?
And...
Yes, thank you very much. Appreciate the opportunity to address this body. I am the president of the CCYFL, which is the Central Coast Youth Football, the San Luis Obispo chapter. We have 150 students, both the male and female, participating from grades 3 through 8 from all the schools in our district in our football and cheerleading program. Every year we use our whole league, of which there are 78 teams from Paso Robles to Lompoc, so it takes in two counties. And so to be told at the last minute that we can't have, you know, home games and we can't practice on the fields, we only have one of the four fields that we have a permit for. And we have five teams crowded into one small area, which is a health hazard and a practice hazard. And because they're all different levels. We have kids from 8 years old up to almost 15, 14 and a half. And we are getting no satisfaction from anyone about why we were told at the last minute that our permit is essentially revoked. We don't have a home game this coming weekend, which the kids love to play at home. Home games are, you know, special. Parents don't have to travel far. You have a competitive advantage by being the home team. And that's been taken away from us for this coming weekend. not only that, we had to implore other areas to take our five games that we had scheduled this coming weekend. And so we are now scattered from Vandenberg, Santa Maria, to Paso Robles for those five games. And we understand that perhaps they didn't get the field reseeded or something when they were supposed to, but our permit is 5 months ago. And they knew we were going to be on the field starting September 1st. We have an approved permit for all four fields. And, you know, this is not fair. It's not fair. It's not just. And we have nobody, it seems like, that we can go to redress this grievance. And that is the purpose for me coming and addressing this body this evening. We also have tried to have home games at Holt Field at the high school. You know, we're given one date. Now, these are the boys and girls who will be at San Luis High School, and they're going to be either playing or cheering for the high school. And they love playing in the stadium. It's a big event for them. These kids start practicing, both the football players and the cheerleaders start August 2nd. They work very hard and diligently. They're a very disciplined group. And we're treated, you know, like this. And it's just not right.
Kirby, you probably realize we have some time limit.
Okay, sorry.
And we
usually there's a little light that goes
on. Yeah, actually,
that, tells
that, was,
you.
That was the beeper that Mr. Millar had there for you. But
I didn't want to be rude, though.
No, that's okay. I think
it wouldn't be out of character for him, but we can't really discuss this particular item because it's not agendized,
right,
as you probably realize. But
yes,
what I might suggest that you do is Mr. Parker, who is the head of the department that you're dealing with, that you might even want to have a discussion with him. He's sitting right over there, and maybe he can try to help illuminate.
My name is Teresa Miller, and I'm from San Luis High. I'm the senior class secretary this year, but I'm just a sub for Shaney Butcher. So whenever she can't make it this year, I will be coming to represent San Luis. So hopefully I'll be getting to see you. Well, the school year started off great at San Luis, but I would like to tell you about a few things that started even before school has started. We had our Flash Forward, which is freshman orientation, which was a huge success. We had about 270 of the incoming freshmen come out. That was put on with help by Friday Night Live directors Frank Warren and Jeremy Bates. A huge thank you to them. We did a fun assembly for them in the gym, and then tours of the campus, showed them where all their classes were going to be, and answered any questions that they had. They were all very afraid of the upperclassmen. They were all wondering, does anybody really get thrown in trash cans? And we convinced them that no, it was okay, and the senior girls really aren't that mean. So I think it helped them out a lot. And then we ended up with some prizes and a raffle going on in the quad with music. And we had prizes from Moondoggies and Boo Boos and Franks. So it was a very fun time, and we would like to thank those sponsors that donated to us. The teachers have been back for a few weeks now. They had two staff development days that, according to Mr. Jones, went very well. Speaking of staff, we have 11 new people working at our school, and we're very excited to have them. We actually have three counselors, two administrators, and six teachers. So they had some meetings and work done before school started, and they did a great job, according to Mr. Jones. Back to school night was Monday before school started. We had a huge turnout for that, I think in part because of the awesome barbecue that was going on. Tri-tip sandwiches for everyone. Thank you to the Aggie Backers and Black and Gold Boosters. They were delicious. And everyone was very excited to meet the teachers. I have to tell you, it was very funny to see all the parents walking around with maps, lost at school. Where's this classroom? I think it gave them a good appreciation about what we go through. And but they were excited, and it's good for them to have an idea of being back in high school again. So it was fun. Our first assembly is this Friday the 9th. We will be handing out letters to all of the first-time recipients of academic honors and introducing our foreign exchange students. We have 9 this year, and we do a very fun flag exchange for them, welcoming them to our country and to San Luis High. So that's very fun. And we will be introducing our new staff members to the student body because a lot of us haven't seen them yet. And we'll be showing a movie starring all of them, which should be fun. Hopefully embarrass them a little bit. And our fall sports are well underway. They started Monday before school started. We've had a football game already, water polo game this week. Our first home football game is Friday the 16th, and it will be versus Oxnard on our home field. Hope some of you will come out and support. And we have a volleyball tournament going on this weekend in our gym on Saturday. And we're hoping it's going to be a great year. It started off really well, and we're having fun.
A lot of things that ASB has put on this year, and it was a really great experience. I didn't get to go, but the few that did, they said they really enjoyed it. We had our first big ASB fundraiser. It was a car wash this year where we pre-sold tickets. We made over $1,300, so we're no longer in debt. just kidding. It went very well. The 22nd, we had our registration, and that night ASB took their annual retreat to Ocean Pines in Cambria. It was a change from last year. We had to sleep at the yacht club. It was a party. Not really. But it was really good. It was nice. It's nice having money now. ASB, it's nice. We get to do cool things. The 30th, school started, and we kicked off our first teacher luncheon, and it was great. We served them tri-tip, bread, salad, and beans. I think we're on their good side this year. So we're excited about, you know, getting to work with the teachers and making everything work out for ASB. September 1st, we had our welcome back assembly, and we started this new thing this year. It's class competition, and at the end of the year, the class with the most class points gets a pizza party or something. We haven't really figured out yet. We also introduced our foreign exchange students. We have 2 from Thailand and 1 from Mongolia, all girls, and they're really welcomed by all the student body. September 16th, we're having our fall sports assembly, and that's to introduce all the sports for the fall season to the students and kind of get a big pep rally going. The 22nd, we have our club rush at lunch where students have the opportunity to sign up for clubs and get more involved in school. And then coming up in October, on the 14th, we have our homecoming mini assembly where students that are nominated for homecoming royalty walk down the aisle in the gym and they have the opportunity to dress up matching with the couple that they get nominated with. And then following that, they vote for the final 5, and then that determines who the final 5 is for homecoming. And then the 17th through the 21st is homecoming week. We're not sure yet what our activities are for set days, but I'll keep you informed on that. And we're bringing back the homecoming dance. Last year, we didn't have a homecoming dance, and we're bringing it back this year, and it's going to be Saturday the 22nd. It's going to be in the old gym, and it's going to be semi-formal. So we're really excited to try something new and maybe see how it goes. And let's see, what else do I have? Oh, yes. Freshman transitions. We started last year with the help of Miss Benson, one of our counselors, and it went really well. We're doing it again, and it's ASB and Peer Helping works together with staff and teachers and administrators that want to take on a transition group, and it's a small environment, only 6 to 7 students, and then a student mentor, and then a counselor, teacher, or staff. And just kind of go over what's coming up, what to expect, get rid of all those myths, as Teresa said, the trash canning. And it's just kind of, it just helps people get a feel, basically just to welcome the freshmen. And then last year we started a pirate breakfast club at the end of the year where we honored a student, and each staff an administrator got to pick which student they wanted to bring for that month and kind of tell a little bit about the student. And what.
Last spring I came before you and we had a serious topic to talk about, so I want to continue our discussion on trout. A trout about downtown, that is. Laguna Middle School, for your memory, was has collaborated with the city of San Luis Obispo on a fundraiser to benefit the Prado de Center. Several students, 17 in fact, under the direction of Laguna's art teacher, Nancy Bedrigan, decorated one of the 21 trout that were on display through the spring and into August. Ours was on Monterey, excuse me, on Monterey Street in front of Moondoggies. It was entitled Go Trout Go. It started with Mr. and Mrs. Tuttle with a three-year relationship with Laguna Middle School and the challenges of community service. As a member of the Rotary, Mr. Tuttle met the challenge of their president, which was to do something good in the community, starting out with giving each of them a $100 bill. The Tuttles, Mr. and Mrs. Tuttle, purchased the trout for $1,000, and our students then completed the project. The trout were on display since spring and only vandalized once. The auction then was on August 27th. The bidding started at $500 and quickly surpassed the $1,200 that we were prepared to bid. Then voices came from behind. Add another 100 for me. Add 200 for me. Our final bid was $2,400. Unfortunately, the final bid was $4,800, and we were looking and we were looking forward to periodic visits of the trout into our front office. The auction of all the fish brought in well over $80,000. So it was an extremely successful event. those who were there and participating understood, and it was quite a day. I know Mr. Unger was there. I saw you there. And it was just a very good feeling to be part of something that was so much. They, through other fundraisers, had reached well over $400,000. And it was just a great sense to be part of something. They had three blank trout yet to be painted, and they were bid also $2,100 if you wanted to get one. So we feel very good about this, and we want you to say we all congratulate our students and teachers for being part of this effort, because it was quite a labor of love they put out, not getting anything for it other than the money all went to Prado Day Center. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson. Any other reports by school staff? Okay, then we will move on to Mr. Miller and his eternal status of the state budget.
I hope it's not eternal, but it has been ongoing for a while now. A short report tonight. The latest polls show that the Proposition 76, which is the Live Within Our Means Act, which would change the character of Proposition 98 and allow the governor to make budget cuts at periodic points during the year, is suffering mightily in terms of a lack of interest and actual outright opposition. There is a we watch the education ones very carefully. We're heartened to see that the ability to alter Proposition 98 is being limited by the voters in their wisdom, and we hope that it remains about at where it's at. That's it for tonight.
Millar.
Thank you. Understandable error. Mr. Miller, am I correct? The governor just recently said that if the people don't pass Proposition 76, he was going to have to raise taxes?
Actually, that was a statement that he made about raising taxes. He's suffering from all elements of the community, if you will, of the state of California. Republicans are not in favor of it. The Democrats are overwhelmingly opposed. Females and males are opposed, as gender polling shows. What he's trying to do now with statements such as this is to solidify some element or segment of the populace and see if he can't gain some momentum and support. And obviously, raising the taxes is something that would perhaps ignite the Republicans and conservatives, but that did not happen. He did not get any support from that statement.
Adrian.
I just wanted to put a plug in for voting no on 95. That's the one where the teachers would have to sign a piece of paper for their union to be involved in politics. And I got an email from my brother who said on the weekend about thank a union for the weekend, which is so true. And the 40-hour week and the weekends and the benefits that laborers in our country have finally achieved are being taken away. And the public unions, though, the public service unions are still here in California. But the whole reason to have a union is to affect, the power structures and politics. So and shareholders don't have to sign something for their companies to send donations. So I think it's really important for the teachers' union to be able to be a player without having more paperwork for teachers.
Carolyn?
I just wanted to comment, Russell, on what you were saying about Russell. I guess the word has spread to his hometown of Graz because they took down his museum that they had for him in sports bars, but it's not really. It's a workout, a gym, and removed it. So they must have heard about what's happening here.
Item number three, Dr. Matakovich.
I'm proud to report to you, Dr. Unger and Olker and members of the board, our district test results. Our students took the state test battery in spring of 05, consisting of the content standards test in the core academic areas and the California Achievement Test, or better known as the CAT-6. These results are available with this item, and I'm sure you've reviewed them. These results are the basis of our district accountability progress report, which I'll speak to later in this report. It will include the California proficient and advanced. At the fifth grade, an all-time high at 67% of our students proficient and advanced. Sixth grade, 65%. Ninth grade, 72%. And 11th grade at 61%, all-time highs. In the area of mathematics, grade 4 at 69% proficient and advanced, and grade 5 at 64%, again, all-time highs. We show also increasing numbers of our students taking algebra in the 8th grade, geometry at the 9th grade, and algebra 2 at the 10th grade level. So we're proud of how our students are achieving on our content standards test. A second measure is the CAT-6 test. This test is a nationally normed test. It means that it was given to a representative national sample group at the time the test was developed. Results are shared in national percentiles. Last year, this test battery was only given to grades 3 and 7. The results presented show our students within the range of the previous years. Our 7th graders, for example, scored at the 66th national percentile in both reading and math. This means that our average 7th grader did better than 66% of the national sample group in both areas of language arts and math. Our students are doing very well. We're on the road to doing better, as you'll see with our district accountability progress report. Thank you, Brad. This item is in the board packet for you as the last item. This report measures us under four requirements which establish our adequate yearly progress targets. Requirement number one addresses participation rate on statewide assessments in both English language arts and math. They set the bar at 95%. We had an overall participation rate of 97% with all groups, subgroups, including special ed, making this target. Requirement number two is the percent proficient on the statewide assessments. The bar was set for English language arts at 23% and math at 23.7%. We met this requirement with all subgroups except our English learners in the area of English language arts. Our English learners reached an 18% proficient rate. We did not meet our target in English language arts, with our English learners falling a little short. In the third requirement, the academic performance index, the target is 590, or 1 point growth. Well, we met this target with an 819 score with a 9 point gain over our previous year. Our fourth requirement, the graduation rate, this indicator is set at 82.9%, and our graduation rate was 94.9%. We made this target. So we've got great news. We have met the challenge of moving our students' proficiency level up. In all but one case, we increased our percentage of students proficient. This is really due to the federal government about our status as a program improvement district. Because we have not met one of the 28 criteria, that is, not meeting the English learner proficiency rate, we will be in year two of program improvement. You as a board reviewed our program improvement plan at the end of last year. We will be implementing this plan with the assistance of the San Luis County Office of Education, who's serving us as our external evaluator. We will keep you informed as to our work. Again, we are proud of our accomplishments. As you noted in an earlier board meeting, Standards and Poor recognized our district as one of 29 districts in the state, entitling us as an outperforming school district. Also this year, I'm sure we will be notified that several of our elementary schools will be identified to participate in the Distinguished Schools application process. So we look forward to reporting to you progress in that area as well. We continue to strive to provide the best possible education program for all of our students, and I want to thank you for the opportunity to present this information to you.
Thank you, Dr. Matakovich. Mm-hmm. I just had one comment regarding what you were just saying about the Standard and Poor rating as us being an outstanding district. I think that one thing that you need to point out when you cite that is that Standard and Poor's rating takes into account the types of students that are within our district. Mm-hmm. So they don't just pat somebody on the back who is in a very wealthy district where their kids are coming from very socioeconomically advantaged children. Our rating was based upon the difficulty of the students that we're dealing with.
Thank you.
So, Mrs. Botwin, you had a comment?
Yes, I have a comment. Mary, a couple of things I just would like to have explained on page 3.9, looking at grade 10 algebra and also grade 11 algebra 1, both algebra 1. And is this fluctuation there at the end under, at the very, the last two columns, is that normal fluctuation? Grade 10 algebra 1 over at the end, we've got 87, 89, 77, 78. And then with the proficient and advanced, we have 13, 10, 23, 22. It seems to be rather wild fluctuations there. Is that typical? Is that something we should be concerned about or what?
Well, I think you're noticing that we have proficient and advanced percentages increasing at those grade levels. As I pointed out earlier, our students typically now are taking Algebra 1 in the eighth grade. So we have, about 45% of our students are taking algebra in the eighth grade. And so we're seeing increased numbers at that level. And so the numbers are smaller at the upper grades level.
Would that be the same thing then for grade 11? I mean, if you look at the proficient advance, it goes from 6 to 0. I thought this was absolutely wonderful. I saw that how making the grade, how SLO County schools rate in the paper about a week or so ago. I think the date was Thursday, September 1st. As a matter of fact, I thought that was very fitting. And all of our schools except two broke 800. And I thought that, I looked again, and I looked again, and I thought this is phenomenal. The only two, one of the two that didn't, one is Pacheco, and we understand the situation there, which is not a problem at all. Kids are doing extraordinarily well for what they're doing. And the other one is San Luis High School that didn't make it, but apparently did go up at least a point so that it was acceptable. And I'd like to applaud, as you did earlier, all our schools, our teachers, our administrators for the good job that they're doing. Thank you.
Mr. Unger?
Yeah, a couple of things. I think one of the things that you're seeing here, Caroline, with the difference in algebra scores is that as students fail, that as they advance in grades and continue to take Algebra 1, they continue to do poorly. So the ones that are doing Algebra 1 in eighth grade are typically the ones that are going to do better in math. And then as they take it, they don't do well in eighth grade, then they take it in ninth grade. And you get a fallout there in ninth grade, and some move on, and some take it again in 10th grade. And the ones that take it again in 10th grade didn't really get it. And then they get to 11th grade, and those are kids that just really, really struggle with math. And I think that's part of what you're seeing with that far below base, the far below basic, you know, that kind of thing. One of the comments that I wanted to make is just when I looked at these, really some of the continuing improvement in our high schools, especially in the language arts area, it was really nice to see, for instance, if I look at, I think, over here, grade 11, where we... if I go to page 3.6, mm-hmm. where we move from proficient and advanced from 46 in 2000 to 61, our far below basic dropped from 54, well, actually, the lower ones, the ones that don't count good for us, yeah, Chris fails, from 54 to 39. So I think really, and that's 11th grade, throughout the high schools, I think that we're really seeing some improvements, and I really wanted to congratulate our high schools as well. I know from the California School Boards Association, one of the things we talk about is the absurdity of districts like ours who score well over 800 and who are still considered program improvement districts. I think for a district to get a score of 818 and then not meet its target is ludicrous. And I know we continue to work hard with our English language learners. I was having a little sidebar discussion with Mr. Miller and Dr. Valentine, that when we look at a dual immersion school such as Pacheco and their API score is 785, which by any stretch of the imagination would be good in any school in California, we have nothing to be ashamed of. I'm curious about our target, Matt, and one of the things talking about Pacheco that we've had discussions in the past was that the structure of Pacheco with the dual immersion ultimately having kids become proficient in both English and Spanish.
It's so important for the kids who are learning a second language, if you can create a quality environment, that they learn the basic foundation skills of reading and mathematics in the language that they understand best, because once a student learns how to read, you never have to learn how to read again. You just need to learn another language, but you understand what the reading process is. And that's part of the premise of Pacheco, is to teach those foundation skills in the early grades. And as Mr. Unger pointed out, that isn't a process that lends itself to spectacular performances in the very early grades on an English language test. All of that said, it's important to acquire English over the course of this. And as a program improvement school, which, as you noted, Pacheco, although 785, is a program improvement school, their efforts last year and continuing into this year has been on boosting the rate of English acquisition by running after-school programs for the English learner populations, by providing buses for the acquisition of English after school that supplements the Pacheco program. And I think it's sort of a foundation concept for our whole English Learner Academy, which is in our strategic plan.
Mr. Unger?
Follow-up question. And is that the after school programs, are those available for kids on the coast from, say, Monarch and Del Mar?
Yes, and transportation is provided to those kids to get to and from the program.
At Pacheco?
At Pacheco.
Thank you.
One comment I just had about Mr. Unger's comment was that maybe Dr. Matakovich could elaborate a little bit. Some people in the viewing audience might get the impression that a student that would be struggling in Algebra 1 would be taking Algebra 1 five times and nothing would change from the 8th grade to the 9th grade to the 10th grade to the 11th grade, and we'd be just presenting them the same curriculum over again. Maybe Dr. Matakovich can actually tell how somebody, a student who might be finding challenges in mathematics, might be handled by the district.
Well, the board has committed additional resources for our at-risk students, so students are able to receive additional support before school, after school, or even during lunchtime, and you've made an allocation at all of our secondary sites for that purpose. We also have our one-year algebra program, but also a two-year algebra program that handles the concepts at a slower rate, and we've found great success, particularly at Morro Bay High School, with students being placed in a two-year program as they go into high school. So we have those options for our kids in algebra.
Thank you. I know Mr. Unger knew that. I just wanted to make sure that people that were watching didn't think that we were not meeting the needs of our students. Mrs. Dickinson?
Just a couple of things real quickly. One is that this data here represents a phenomenal amount of effort. Mm-hmm. Just to get the test data, because testing takes a lot of time at school. I mean, about a week, and it's very complex, and mm-hmm. the test to the students, and a lot of hours, and it's a huge process to do all this testing of all these students. They participate in it, and with Dr. Valentine's example of, you know, of a response that the school is required to come up with, even though it doesn't seem like Dr. Unger is saying that it's really necessary to improve something that's so wonderful, it's just doing well. But by law, we have to go through what I would call a charade of all these people working so hard. But, you know, Dr. Valentine sets the tone here and leads the way with a very positive way of looking at it. And some good can come out of it, and yes, we are going to improve. And I just think that's commendable. To keep that good attitude about that AYP business. And I commend you and Dr. Matakovich.
Mr. Unger?
Well, I just wanted to make sure that folks listening understand that I'm, as the rest of the board and the administration, are committed to seeing that our second language students get the best education possible. It's nice for me to hear that we're doing even more for the students, because we want to do it for them as students, not because we want to just boost test scores, but test scores as a reflection of what kids are actually learning.
Dr. Valentine?
Thank you. I want to, first of all, commend and recognize the effort that Dr. Matakovich and the entire Ed Services Division puts into making sure that our sites have the best data available to look at, so that each student's progress over time and over years, you're seeing district progress, but this carries down to school site, grade level, and individual student progress as well. And I want the board to understand that the allusion to two staff development days prior to the opening of school were largely dedicated to the studying of that data in order to determine better strategies to improve student achievement. And those kinds of conversations are possible through the wonderful efforts of the folks at our sites, and also through the great data that the Ed Services and Instructional Services provide to our schools. I also want to reiterate what Mr. Unger said, because I think it's very important. It is so much more important that we do the right things for students, that we look at what the best practices are for teaching language arts, for teaching mathematics, for teaching the other content areas that we also receive tests in, that we pursue the best practices for language acquisition for our English learners. So much more important that we be dedicated to those processes than that we become slaves to the numbers. The good news is that when you are dedicated to those processes, the numbers follow.
Thank you, Dr. Valentine and Dr. Matakovich. Item number 4, determination of sufficient textbooks and instructional materials. Mr. Barnett?
hopeful this is just a nice resolution that you're going to pass easily without me having to explain quite a bit.
Actually, it's going to be a close vote. And so, you know,
depending on what I say,
it all hinges on how well you present this. So, you know. I know, but it doesn't mean that it has to be an easy one.
Well, Mary said that she'll, Dr. Matakovich said that she will fill in for me anytime. 2005, 2006. K-3 science adoption will be considered when the state adopts new K-8 instructional materials next year in 2006, 2007. Bless you. K-12 health adoption will be considered in 2005, 2006 to be implemented in the fall of 2006.
Great. And with that, I would move to approve. Thank you.
Do I hear a second? Okay, any board discussion? Mrs. Botwin?
Thank you. I just have one question. Mr. Barnett, come back up to... Thank you. Reasonably, of course, we're gonna get the new books after they make their standard adoptions, and that makes a lot of sense. At this point in time, though, we're looking at the history, social science, K-6, science, K-3, and health, K-12. How are they doing right now this year in terms of having sufficient textbooks or materials? Now, they've got to get through a year before we get to the adoption. What?
Dr. Matakovich.
Yes, please. Mrs. Botwin, as you know, we're required to have recently adopted materials that align to the state list of adopted texts. Our children have the materials in the classroom now. However, they are not texts that have been that are listed on the approved list. They were previously adopted materials, but we had to hold back because of lack of funds to be able to complete this.
I understand that, but so every kid does have, correct. Every student has a textbook and or sufficient materials to get through this year.
Correct.
Okay, I was thinking of them sitting around twiddling their thumbs saying, well, we're just going to wait for next year, and loving every moment of it, right? Yeah. Right. Thank you.
Mr. Barnett, we do give extra credit points for brevity, and and you're pretty good, you know. So actually, one sentence actually does it. You know, we're into speed, and this is a resolution. So we have Mrs. Holmes,
Mrs. Andreen,
aye.
Mr. Unger,
yes.
Mrs. Dickinson, Dr. Olker,
yes.
Mr. Millar,
aye.
Mrs. Botwin.
Ooh, it did seem touch and go there till the very end. Okay, item number 5, unaudited year-end actual financial statement for 2004 and 2005. Mrs. Hunter. Oh, she's listed as...
I'll take it, and she can...
Oh, that's right, it does say, I'm sorry.
She can answer your questions, that's okay. What we have here tonight in the interest of brevity is our unaudited actual financial statements. I will take you back into the past in the second interim, the first interim, and the adopted budget from 2004-05. In each of those, we show deficit spending. In that, we were spending more money. We were budgeting to spend more money than we were going to receive. It was in recognition of our desire to avoid layoffs and program cuts. And the direction from the board was to limit our spending in whatever area is necessary without harming our programs and our people. I think that what you see as a result in your unaudited actuals is the teamwork that was applied across the district, in that we ended our year with a balanced expenditure to revenue ratio. We were able to spend a little bit less than that which we received. It was attributable to a number of different issues. But
revenues, leases and rentals, I believe it's line 8650. We're looking at $862,000 in revenues from leases and rentals, or a 23.3% increase from last year. That's money that goes into our general fund and benefits our students. And I congratulate everybody who's involved in trying to find ways to increase the revenues for the district.
And it should be noted that Mr. Unger was speaking about was rental income from closed elementary schools that the school board did 3 or 4 years ago. Mrs. Botwin.
I have a question. No, I had it on page 515, Russell. I'd like to number 58. The object code is number 5800, and it says professional consulting services and operating expenditures. And it looks like that from the 2405, the total there was about $2 million. And then it jumps up about a $400,000 more increase for this year's budget. So essentially about $400,000. And I wanted to ask you, the thing that bothered me, and I think I brought this up last year and maybe the year before too, why do we have professional and consulting services tied in with operating expenditures?
5800 is an expenditure code that's allocated by the state of California, and under the standardized account code structure that we operate and report our results to the state, we are required to report those kinds of expenditures under that account code. It's not an unfair question, and it's not an unreasonable expectation that there be some division of that. We achieve that division through other account codes, but when we report, we have to consolidate back into this master number, if you will, and it includes everything. 5800s will include all kinds of different expenditures for attorneys, insurance, and other consultants that we use in the classroom, out of the classroom, and throughout what we do.
Well, I realize that, but with you in the job there, I could see where there maybe is a dollar used for operating expenditure and the rest of it used for professional trips, consulting services, and so on and so forth. And I know that's not the case. I know that there's a division there. Is there some way that could be done? The two don't fit together. You agree with that on that?
Yeah, but it's not something we have as a discretion. It's something we are required to do in our reporting to the state of California. There's no options available to us.
Okay, so if I called you on the telephone and asked you to break them up for me?
Well, I could do that,
okay.
But not in this report.
Okay.
Not in what goes to the state of California. Not what you're looking at and approving that'll go. But if you have any kind of a question about a site-specific expenditure or a division, even by vendor, If you were interested in a particular vendor, we can acquire that knowledge and give it to you, no problem.
But you don't have any spot where it says the operating expenditures this year totaled such and so.
Not on this report.
But you have those figures.
Yes.
Okay. I have another question on page.
Approve.
Okay, so this is a normal thing because at this point we don't know what's broken down.
I'm not sure exactly, but my memory, which is imperfect, says to me that we started about the last 2 years with zero in those accounts, and as the year progresses, we build expenditures into it.
Okay, thank you. So we'll see that on the next, on page 520, a couple of things, and this is under the Adult Education Fund, but it kind of bothered me when I saw it. On page 520 in the second, under B, expenditures, the certificated salaries this last year were $876,000, rounding it. And then for budget for next year, it's down about $55,000. It goes down. Okay, that's not a huge discrepancy. But then when you go to number three there, employee benefits, it goes from $256,000 for last year to $279,000, a difference of about $25,000 for this year, this coming year. Well, doesn't it make sense if you have fewer people, you have fewer benefits?
Remember, benefits have been increasing steadily over the years, particularly our health insurance. In addition to that, when we built the budget, the state of California was passing on to us an expenditure of 2% for the retirement account. And that since has been rescinded, but our budget does reflect still that 2% in there. Remember, we're talking about the 0405 unaudited actuals here. This is the actual outcome. And your budget was built in May, and much of what you see as discrepancies between the two numbers will be ironed out
and
presented to you on the first interim in October, and it'll look much different at that time.
Thank you. I'm glad you said that. I also, on page 525, I suppose what you're saying applies there at the top, the teacher's salaries, 750,000 plus in adult education for last year, and for this year budgeted down about $60,000.
Yeah, and I don't have the information to be able to explain why it went down by $70,000, but what we will see on your first interim report will be the unaudited actuals, the budget, and then the amended budget, so you'll be able to draw that comparison at that time.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so this will be brought back at the next board meeting for approval. So we're now moving on to the action consent agenda. Item number 6, we have certificated and classified personnel items. Number 7, elementary class size aides. Number 8, adjustment in rate of pay for administrator of Pacific Beach High School. Number 9, approval to enter into teacher-in-residence agreement with Cal Poly. Number 10, quarterly report on uniform complaint filings. Number 11, acceptance of donations. Number 12, furniture and equipment requests. 13, purchase orders. 14, warrants and payroll. 15.
I want to pull 2, and you were going so quickly, I didn't want to interrupt you. I want to pull number 8 and number 12.
Okay.
Thank you.
And 15 is notice of completion on bid package 191.
You're right. Mine was
left. Yes. Okay. We've got birthday people. Okay. Number 8. Okay, I'm on top of it. Under the recommendation, I thought I agree with everything that's here, the adjustment in rate of pay, administrative Pacific Beach, et cetera. Under the recommendation, I thought we had added at the end of it, it says it will be 215-day work year calendar for the administrator, Pacific Beach, and for the 205-6 school year to be paid at the same per diem rate as the high school dean, and to be reviewed again at the end of this year. And I thought that was the end of our discussion on that item.
Dr. Valentine?
Yeah, we were hoping that we had captured that by approving the pay raise for the one-year period of 205, 206.
Obviously, you didn't.
So this
okay.
will be brought back again.
So it will be brought back. Okay, thank you. I move to approve item number 8.
Second.
And since nobody else...
Mr. Millar caught that one, so... all in favor of item number 8?
Aye.
Aye. And any nays? No. Okay. Item number 12, furniture and equipment request, Mrs. Botwin.
I wanted to thank Brad. Item number 1 up there and the equipment, the Anchor voice amplifying system at Senshammer School, is that what has been keeping us, the neighborhood, from listening to the morning announcements so far this year?
No.
Oh. That is a item that was necessitated by a surgical procedure for one of our employees.
Oh, okay.
Mr. Unger?
Small microphone. It's a small wireless microphone attached to an amplifier that amplifies the voice throughout the classroom and not in an unnatural manner. They're actually quite,
yes.
They're considered quite good for especially students with auditory problems.
They're very, very nice. Yes. Will we be hearing the PA again then?
Yes, just
okay. I was here. I was going to thank you profusely for not, even though we loved hearing him. But some of Joyce's statements about a thought to carry the day left us a little bit. Oh no! But anyhow, thank you.
Do I hear an approval for item number 12?
You did.
Okay, second. Mrs. Andreen went for that. Okay, all in favor of item number 12?
Aye.
Any nays? Okay, we'll move on to advanced agenda items. Do we have any, Mr. Unger?
Well, I just want to say that I brought up the topic of educational technology, which we're going to be discussing on the 20th. Unfortunately, I at this point will not be able to attend that meeting. And I'm disappointed about not being able to do that. I'm having a little minor surgery. And my doctors advised me not to come to school board meetings that night.
Is this because of blood pressure issues? Or?
Yeah. What do you think, Doc?
Mr. Unger, would you be interested in us rescheduling that?
I would be interested in that. I don't know if that would throw the district administration off. This is an area of interest for me, and I know that I've spoken to other high school students, and it is an area of interest for the high school students as well.
It would be possible. May I speak? Sorry.
Thank you.
If it would be possible, Chris, if you want to move that, that would be fine for you to be there.
Dr. Valentine?
Yeah, I think that would take a board action if we're picking a specific date. It might be something that maybe we could discuss with board chair and clerk, and if it works, then...
Other thing I might suggest, if there is too much preparation for that one, is to put the board self-evaluation in the mission statement on the 20th, because that'll take less staff time, and that's something we're probably overdue for anyway.
I think that when we meet with the board president and chair, we can schedule all three of those in a timely way for the board, and Mr. Unger also can be present at...
That would be great. I would like to be able to be there, but I understand the constraints of the schedule as well.
Okay. But we will discuss that at the next Monday meeting then.
Okay, good. Thank you. I'm sorry. The PEAs, so the K through 6 and so on, that probably would give us a month or two to see how the situations are. I think that should give...
Okay, so you're just recommending that we put that in a few months rather than in 2 weeks or something?
Well, not in 2 weeks, yeah.
Right.
I think we need to see how it's going at the schools.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Any other future agenda items? Okay, then we have onward to number 18, reports by board members and administrators. Mrs. Dickinson. Go for it, Dick.
Came home from school late on one night last week, and there was a message on the answering machine about back-to-school night at Los Osos Middle School. So jumped in the car and went, and I was very happy to be there. It's really impressive to go around to the classrooms and hear the teachers' presentations about the new year. And even though I'm a teacher myself, maybe because I'm a teacher myself, I'm so impressed with the professionalism and the amount of work and caring that goes into being a teacher. And I wanted to mention just one thing. Was it Mr. Naus? How do you say his name, that new teacher? I was in his class. I kind of randomly visited classrooms, and I met him at back-to-school night. But I realized I had been in his classroom at Hawthorne's open house last year, and met his wife and his two little kids. He did a nice presentation. He loves being at the middle school, but he wrote something on the board that he doesn't do BWOT, B-W-O-T, in regards to homework, which stands for big waste of time. And I thought he brought up an important point about homework, that he talked what his homework assignments are, which seem very meaningful, and they're not constant. And it related, too, to Mr. Kirby's math class, algebra class, where he talked about one of the homework assignments is going to involve the whole family, a project that they're interested in. But I just appreciate the effort to have homework be something meaningful and not impact too much the creative and relaxing time of children at home with their families. And I would even want us to think maybe sometime in the future if we want to have a study session on homework, because I remember a meeting when somebody got really mad at Mr. Millar about a homework issue, and I think homework is a big issue for families, and it would be interesting to see how his homework going.
The salary, there are representatives there from different groups who speak to different issues and answer questions, and secretaries and groundspeople and so on and so forth. It gives you a really nice understanding of here to there and on where it goes. And I applaud our personnel commissions. I think at Christmas we should invite them to a Christmas party. Thank you.
Mr. Millar.
Thank you. I just noticed at some point last week or in the last couple of weeks a letter to the editor regarding the requirements of No Child Left Behind and that the school district provide to military recruiters the names and addresses of juniors and seniors. And I bring this up because it is up to the parents and guardians of our students if they do not wish us to do that to opt out. We try to make that clear in that massive packet of materials that go home every year. And in case it's lost in the shuffle, and you do not want that information provided regarding your student to military recruiters, then you need to let the district know and make your option about that. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Mrs. Dickens?
I have a question about that. Is there a date? I mean, has that information already been given out for this year?
Dr. Matakovich?
Excuse me. Every child has an information card and emergency card that they fill out, and there are specific questions, and it's a forced choice, yes or no. And we enter that information into our database and provide the approved list to the recruiters based on the parent's signature. So it's collected on all of our 11th and 12th grade students.
Dr.
And my question was, is it too late for parents who want to opt out of having their child's name? It's not too late to opt out for this school year.
Certainly not, yeah.
Dr. Ballantyne? Oh. No, I understood that. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to report that we've had a very smooth opening to school this year. When we looked at enrollment projections, we tried to staff the kindergarten through third grade classes at 20 to 1. They're currently at 19.6 in kindergarten and 19.4 to 1 in grades 1 through 3, which is very, very close and very, very tight. We have actually 71 more students enrolled in the district than were projected to be enrolled. We've added a teacher at Baywood Elementary School, which has relieved some of that pressure, and we're looking at the secondary enrollments in the next day or two to see if there are any staffing adjustments we want to make there. They would be small, if at all. Compared to last year, we're 148 students fewer than we were last year, so our enrollment continues to decline, but it's declining at a slower rate than what we had projected. All in all, though, I think we are well-staffed and off to a good start and hearing good things from the sites.
Mr. Unger?
Just really quickly, I also was able to attend the open house at Los Osos Middle School. And again, congratulations to Diana Barnhart, our San Luis Coastal Teacher of the Year, County Teacher of the Year. The reports from Los Osos Middle School is that the parking and the traffic has greatly improved from the construction that was done this summer. And that's really good news for everybody at Los Osos Middle School.
Okay, do I hear a motion to
adjourn? Well, I'd just like to, if I may, like to wish Bob a happy birthday and move for adjournment.
There's a motion to adjourn. Do I hear a second?
I think we should just have a...
We can sing afterwards.
Recognize Bob's birthday again.
Yeah, I don't think
to recognize Bob's birthday.
I don't think the public wants to hear us sing it.
Oh, I can't. That's a Brown Act violation, isn't it?
All in favor of adjournment?
Aye.
Any noes? There are none. Good night, everybody. Thanks for coming.